Good morning. Two readings this morning, both from the book of Isaiah. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The Lord enters into judgment against the elders and rulers of his people. It is you who have ruined my vineyard. The plunder from the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor, declares the Lord Almighty. The second reading is from Isaiah chapter 6, the first 8 verses. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces. With 2 wings they covered their feet. And with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongues from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me.
Thanks, Graham. Morning, everybody. First and foremost, I just want to say a massive thank you. One, for being here this morning. Two, if you've been able to give this morning, thank you. Three, if you haven't been able to give, don't worry, because you can still pray for the work that CAP does, that Linda and Russell and the team do, because your prayers are just as important as any financial gift that you give. Just speaking to Russell this week, there are many times for them as debt coaches that there's times of frustration. So, for example, this week he had 3 appointments. And what he does is he lets me know the postcode and the house number and the times he's going to be there, so that if he suddenly goes missing, I've got a rough idea of where he is. And within a very short space of time, he texts me back going, literally all 3, nobody's in. And I just felt really feel for him, because you know you build yourself up, you get ready to go and do the work with these people, and for whatever reason, they either forget or they're just not there to actually answer the door. So please do pray for them. And we've been at a debt centre now for over 4 years, and we've been journeying with CAP for a lot longer than that. So as John Kirkby in the video said, who founded CAP 23 years ago, from his own bedroom, and I think he started out with £10, he said in the video earlier that right now in the UK, there's an estimated 1.5 million people living in destitution. So what does destitution look like? Well, it's parents who are missing meals so that their children can actually have the little that they have in their cupboards. It's elderly people who are living alone, who haven't turned on their heating for days, for weeks, or even months because of the cost. It's people living without electricity. So even if we could go and put something in their fridge, they can't even afford to run the fridge anyway. It's people battling with multiple health problems, whether it's physical or mental, whilst also being hounded by debt collectors who are constantly sending the letters, phoning them up, or banging on their door. So let's just try and visualize what 1.5 million people might look like this morning. So if we got everybody together that lives in Blackburn, Blackpool, Fleetwood, Lancaster, Lytham St Annes, and Preston, that actually wouldn't be enough. We would need to add all the people that live in our county of Lancashire. So visualize that for a moment. It's leaving here, and every single house that you pass, every block of flats, that every person living in each one of those is one of those 1.5 million. It's scary, isn't it? Not having enough to eat, not being able to stay warm and dry, not being able to keep clean. It's a massive number. And it's also, to put it another way, it's like filling Wembley Stadium over 16 times. It's so big. And it can be hard to remember that that number represents people, individuals, who at this point in this nation of ours, in 2019, are struggling to actually live, as Tina was saying, minute by minute. And we've seen Tina's story earlier. And through all the challenges that she's faced, I look at her and I still see that her face shines with hope and with dignity, because her story represents those 1.5 million, but it also represents someone who has seen suffering but has found someone who's willing to help her today. Perhaps the bigger issue is that actually the outrageous situation that is often set against the backdrop of shame, that people like Tina so desperately need someone to stretch out a hand and to help them up, but the guilt and the shame of their situation and the fear of judgment means that for them it's easier to cover up the reality of the struggles that they face. That as Tina would do, she'd go to bed early at night. She'd make excuses when people came round. She would keep her curtains closed. 1 in 2 of CAP clients say that they struggle with shame or embarrassment. And it's meant that they've held back from asking for help. Almost 1/3 of people struggle in the secrecy of the shame and the guilt of where they've allowed themselves to get to for over 3 years. I can't even begin to comprehend what that must feel like. And for most of them, nobody outside of their house knows the truth. Sometimes not even their own families know what they're actually going through. And at the heart of CAP and here at Fullwood, it's a belief that God cares deeply about people like Tina, about this 1.5 million, that injustice, exclusion, and the exploitation that they're facing, they have no place in God's kingdom. Instead, in his kingdom, it's a place where the poorest are prioritized and included. And it's why in the Bible, so many of the prophets, the people who brought God's message to the wider nation and to the kings and the leaders of the countries, were saying and making a point of condemning the oppression of the poor, as Graham read for us in Isaiah chapter 3. And here, Isaiah sees the state of his nation. He measures it against the justice, the mercy, the holiness, and the love and compassion of God, and he finds it's desperately wanting. The system is stacked against the poorest, and they're finding their faces crushed under the feet of its leaders. And then, as we've read, Isaiah sees God himself. And the comparison between his present and his God is unbearable. And in verse 5, what we see him do is he cries out, "Woe to me, I am ruined." He sees the glory and the majesty and the power of God set before him. And he's like, "I'm unworthy, I'm unclean, I'm shameful compared to this, even as one of God's messengers." And I think Isaiah gets to the encounter and thinks that the holiness and the majesty and the power of God's going to consume him, that he's finished, he's done for. But instead, this encounter is where I see the King, the Lord Almighty, in all his beauty and his majesty. And he's completely changed. Because what we see happen is this. He goes from, woe to me, I am ruined, to here I am I, send me, in the space of one paragraph. As part of the church here in Fulwood, I would love to see everyone that we reach out to change their viewpoint of themselves in the time of one paragraph. And I believe God can do it, but so often it's about walking with people, helping them to understand the problem they're in, helping them out of that situation, and bringing them to a place where they may actually open their eyes and see God for themselves. That Isaiah gets to a point where God's heart and his character profoundly impact him. God removes Isaiah's guilt and his shame, and he changes the way that Isaiah sees things. He sees that God does a great work in him. And so the voice of the Lord says, whom shall I send? And who shall go for us? And then Isaiah looks again and at the heaven around him and the beauty of his God Almighty before him. And he looks again at himself and sees that God has made him right and clean. And he says, here am I, send me. We can often talk about sending people out and quote this scripture when we do it, and that's fantastic. But the call of God isn't limited to a select few people who go out and do a visa team or who go out and move to another country or somewhere else. Because what Isaiah is doing is he is asking God to send him back to his own people. His ministry was to be worked out exactly where he was. And like Isaiah, the call from God is for each and every one of us to be willing to serve the communities in which we're in right here and right now. To look again with a fresh perspective. To start seeing the unseen. It doesn't have to be dramatic, but it can be life-changing. Not only for us, but for the people that we start to see and start to reach out to. And this morning you might think, well, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, or holy enough, even to be in the presence of God, even though you're sitting in here this morning, that for you, God might seem distant, as it first did for Isaiah. But God draws us close to him through Jesus. He has already done the greatest work he can for you and for me. That through Jesus, we too can be restored. We can be made new, set free. Know forgiveness. Know there is a plan and a purpose and a hope for our lives as well. God is calling us to engage with our communities. When you look again, you begin to see things the way that God wants you to see things. To notice people that maybe you don't notice before. To see people the way that God sees them. That they have value, that they are worthy of love, that they are worthy of care and investment. At the start of the book of Isaiah, it says, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. And Jesus said, reading scripture from Isaiah, in Luke 4, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. If we follow Jesus this morning, poverty is something we all need to address, whether it's our own or those that we know around us. And I'm thankful that we're trying to do it through partnering with CAP and because of your generosity and sacrifice. And again, I want to say thank you. I think it's amazing that we have seen 11 people go debt-free, six of those in this last year. I'm going debt-free is one thing, but I want to see people set free into being able to live their lives as God has planned them to live. And your giving today enables us to do what we're called to do as Christians and to literally see doors open into households that we would probably never, ever be able to get into in any other way. And that we're able to walk with people who have hit rock bottom and start to lift them up and help them to see that they are worthy of love and attention. That there is a God who loves them. He isn't far off. He's right there in their house at that moment. But often it's not just about dealing with their money problems, because ultimately that's just the tip of a very big iceberg. But when someone who has been overlooked, ignored, and trampled on finally meets someone who brings and shows genuine care and love into their situation, that stands as part of the local church, it means so much. They may not express it, but it means a lot to them. And I love the ministry and the opportunity we have to partner with CAP and work with them, and to see Linda and Russell going out into all these different homes. It's amazing. But do you know what my hope for the future of the work of CAP is? That we actually one day no longer need it. That we actually one day have to close our debt center down. Because we reach a point where we see in our nation that the worker gets a fair wage and a decent contract. That money is fairly lent and borrowed. That families and neighbors and community support and love one another for who they are, not what they want them to be. And that the most vulnerable are cared for in our society. But until that day comes, how is God asking you to look again? Is he inviting you to look again at the people and the community around you where you live? To see past the closed doors and the closed curtains as you travel home? Or maybe you see the need, but like Isaiah, you struggle to see how there can be a hope amidst all the brokenness and the injustice in our nation. 1.5 million people is a lot of people. But perhaps God is asking you to firstly look again to him, to see who he is and to see what he's done in Jesus. And remember, he is able to do the impossible. He can transform people like never before. He can transform neighborhoods if the church will work with him. Because he loves us, each of us, to join him in what he's doing. For our heartfelt response to simply be, here I am, send me. So there's different ways you can get involved. But first and foremost this morning, seek his face. Gaze upon the majesty and the wonder of who God is. Know what he's done for you. That your response might come to that point where you too can say, as he calls out, who? Here am I, send me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we just have a real sense of, we've been singing this morning, a real sense of who you are. And our first immediate response might be, woe to me, I'm ruined, because we see our own guilt and shame. But Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us this morning, we might look again to the cross. We might see that you've already paid the price for each and every one of us. So that, Lord, that we may come to that place where though we see the majesty and the power that you have, we also see the love and compassion you gave us through Jesus. That we might be transformed into being able to stand before you and say, here am I, send me. That we would be obedient to what you call us to today. Lord, we thank you for the work that we do with CAP. Lord, the problem out there in the world is so great. But God, you are greater. And we praise you for that. Amen.